O my father. Ancient, hallowed, lonely, disappointed father.
In 1963, just weeks after the assassination of John F. Kennedy, Leonard Bernstein premiered his third symphony, Kaddish, and dedicated it to the slain president.
I want to pray.
Leonard Bernstein's wife, Felicia Montealegre, was the narrator in this 1964 recording.
I want to say Kaddish.
Kaddish, a prayer. For Leonard Bernstein, his Third Symphony was a vehicle to deliver that prayer and explore issues of personal faith, concepts of peace in a world filled with strife. This weekend, the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra is performing the work led by music director Marin Alsop. The maestro joins us now from the studios of WYPR in Baltimore. Thanks so much for being back with us, Marin.
Great to be here, Scott. Thank you.
Help us understand this piece. Set it up a bit. How does Leonard Bernstein convey these themes of conflict and crisis through music?
Well, for Leonard Bernstein, the most pressing issue of the 20th century was a crisis of faith, not necessarily religion-based faith, but a faith in humanity. And he represents this crisis in music in terms of atonality versus tonality. The music that comes in is a 12-tone row, meaning it has no tonal center, and that sets up the crisis.
And later in this movement, it builds to something that sounds like a Greek chorus. Let's listen to that.
It's interesting to hear the chorus. The chorus is always singing the actual text from the Kaddish, the prayer, and they reflect the narrator's approach to God always. So in a way, it's like a Greek chorus commenting on the action. But you hear on the recording, you can hear the hand clapping and the stomps. So Bernstein adds that to it. And he's still playing with this idea of atonality when you hear that. It's jazzy atonality now.
The second movement is called Dintura, meaning the judgment. And help take us through that.
Well, for me, the fascinating thing about this piece and about so many of Bernstein's works is that he's turning the typical way of looking at something on its head. So the judgment day, which is usually, you know, all hellfire and brimstone and everything going wrong for mankind, instead of being subservient and down on our knees as human beings, we're standing up in Bernstein's version and speaking back to God, and it becomes really a questioning of God's actions. And for Bernstein, this was very, very important. I mean, trying to get his arms around why and how people could act in such destructive, violent ways in the name of God under the guise of religion was something he could not comprehend. So there's a confrontation in this piece between man and the silent God, accusing him of violating his promise with mankind. The narration which Bernstein wrote is, "Are you listening, Father? You know who I am. Your image, that stubborn reflection of you. Why have you taken away your rainbow? Tin God, your bargain is tin. It crumples in my hand. And where is the faith now? Yours or mine?"
Yours or mine!
And the idea that man and God are inherently intertwined. Without man, there is no God. Without God, there is no man. This brings us to a complete chaotic breakdown in the piece, and there's this massive cadenza for the chorus, completely atonal.
Mm-hmm. This sounds like the end of the world. This sounds like the end of all sense, of understanding, of coherence, of things adding together in a way that we can understand it. But then it settles down, and we hear a lullaby.
Well, this is Bernstein's genius for me, and it goes from this incredibly complex, almost unintelligible statement to the most beautiful, simple, gorgeous melody. And this is where man says to God, you know, put your head down on my shoulder. Why don't you take a rest? You must be very tired. And Bernstein captures that in this beautiful solo for the soprano voice. It really is like a lullaby to God.
Be comforted, be magnified, sanctified.
That's Jenny Terrell, the mezzo-soprano, in this 1964 recording conducted by the maestro Leonard Bernstein.
It's absolutely an incredible moment, I think, that capturing that simplicity. At the end of the movement, the narration comes back, and the speaker says, "Sleep, my father, rest your anger." I mean, it's amazing how he's, you know, man is speaking to God. "Dream softly. Let me invent your dream. Dream it for you as gently as I can. And perhaps by dreaming, I can help you find your image again and love him again. I'll take you to your favorite star, the world most worthy of your creation, and hand in hand, like eager children, we'll watch in wonder, wide-eyed, the workings of perfectedness."
Let's listen, if we can, to a bit of the third movement. Music begins kind of playfully.
"So this is the kingdom of heaven, Father, just as you planned it. Every immortal cliché in place. Lambs frisk, wheat ripple, sunbeams dance. Something is wrong."
Immortal cliché, what a phrase.
Yeah.
What's wrong with God's creation?
Well, you know, how can we think that things are perfect when we don't believe in humanity and we don't respect humanity, and we've made some kind of bargain with this concept of religion? And, you know, for Bernstein, it was all about hypocrisy and not having faith in each other and respecting each other.
"Don't turn away. Look, do you see how simple and peaceful it all becomes once you believe?"
In the scherzo movement, which brings back all of these crazy themes from the piece, the narrator is talking about how God needs to believe in mankind. And this builds to a climax, and then the children's choir enter, the boys singing. And for Bernstein, children always represented faith and hope. The narrator wakes God, and God then has to confront the reality of this image. And for Bernstein, it's coming to some sort of compromise, some negotiation with God. I mean, only Bernstein would enter into negotiations with God. The narrator says, "Good morning, Father." He wakes up God. "Good morning, Father. We can still be immortal, you and I, bound by our rainbow. You can no longer afford my death. For if I die, you die with me. And as long as I live, I shall continue to create you, Father, and you me." So that's really the bargain that Bernstein is negotiating with God.
Oh, my gosh. You of course, knew Leonard Bernstein very well. You're his pupil, his protege, his friend. How does Kaddish reflect the man he was, the creative force that he was?
He was a complicated and simple human being on many levels. He was a man filled with passion and compassion and belief in humanity. But he was also a very conflicted human being, and he had enormous worry, enormous concern about the future of our human race. I often think I'm glad he's not around to see some of the violence that has occurred in this 21st century, but it's a shame because we really need him here to remind us that the most important thing is to believe in each other and believe in humanity.
Maren Alsop, music director of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. They're currently performing Bernstein's Kaddish Symphony No. 3.
Great to talk to you, Scott. Thank you.
You can read Maren Alsop's essay on Kaddish on our website, nprmusic.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.